So, we're up to the Taz part two. We got stuck last time we spoke on Vada Barotzis, who the Taz was an integral part of. Vada Barotzis, he was actually the Roish Havad at one point in his lifetime, which definitely in prestigious positions, it is the highest to be the Roish Havad Barotzis. And then what happens is, where did we leave off? His Pirushim. We left off with his Pirushim and what happened, and what actually went down in... Okay, so what do we have here? We have the... What Sfarim did he write? So we, at the end, last time we touched upon Yerideya. Yerideya was where he really butt heads with the Shach. They had many differences of opinions, and the question was, did they know each other's work? Did they reference each other's works? And definitely the Taz, when it was written, did not have a Shach, nor did the Shach, when it was written, have a Taz. But then the Taz wrote a Daf Achron, the Shach wrote a Kunshas Achron, and then afterwards, we have from the... We have the Nekudas HaKesef, which not clear exactly when it was written in the storyline, but the Nekudas HaKesef was definitely written afterward. But again, it's with the greatest respect. The Shach goes and writes. That was with the greatest respect, and that's why he named it and termed it Nekudas HaKesef, because Kesef pales in comparison to Zav.
It's also the end of the puzzle.
Fair. And it pales in comparison, but again, it's the latter half of the pasuk, and it's lesser in chashivos, and that was the anivos of that relationship, that it's l'hagdil ter l'adira, not necessarily to settle any score. He also wrote a pirush on Arachayim, which also is one of the most integral. In Arachayim and Yerideya, he is one of the main Noisei Kelim, which is fascinating to note. Who decided which Noisei Kelim became the ones that were in the Niskabel? It's fascinating. There were so many. Last week, two weeks ago, I mentioned a few. The Eila Shabbos was one of the first Pirushim. The Nachlas Tzvi was one of the first Pirushim on Shulchan Aruch. We're talking the first. And they're basically not around. The Magen Avraham, he wrote Oyla Shabbos and Oylas Tamid. The Magen Avraham, what? No, Sef Shabbos, someone else. Two generations later. So the Oyla Shabbos and the Oylas Tamid went and wrote one of the first Pirushim on Shulchan Aruch. That was the time to shine, to break open what the Mechaber and the Ramah actually held. So the Magen Avraham, whenever he references him, he just ends off by saying, Delo ke oilas tamid, Delo ke oilas Shabbos. He doesn't even tell you what he says, because everyone knew what he said, and it's wrong. And he basically, we have the Pirush, they reprinted it for prosperity's sake. But many Pirushim, there was a Pirush called Kol Yehuda, that it was about to come out. He saw the Taz wrote a Pirush, and he said, the Taz already wrote it, I'm not going to write my Pirush. The Chavis Yoyer, Reb Chaim Yoyer Bachrach, he goes and he says, I wrote a Pirush called Mekar Chaim, which we only have now, and only came out 45 years ago. The Chen Yerushalayim put out the Mekar Chaim, not the Nesivis, the other Mekar Chaim of the Chavis Yoyer, who was a Pirush on the entirety of Or Chaim. He said, I ran out of money, I wasn't able to go to print. And then I saw that the Taz and the Magen Avraham came out in the interim. There was no need. It's fascinating. There's a lot of hashkacha as to who came out when, how.
But that Mekar Chaim that they printed is the whole thing?
Or no, it's just on Hilchos Pesach. That's all we got.
So there's two Mekar Chaims on Hilchos Pesach.
Yeah.
Was the Mesivis.
Yeah. Mekar Chaim from the Chavis Yoyer was on Shulchan Aruch. A Pirush? No, not from the Taz, the Chavis Yoyer. That's what they say. So if you notice the style, stylistically, the Taz, they claim was not written on Shulchan Aruch, it was written on the Tur. That's why he always starts with Kasavat Tur, and he always quotes his father-in-law, the Bach, because he's very Tur-oriented.
You don't want to get the same page as his father-in-law.
That was the reason?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know where that's printed?
Out of respect.
Ah. I didn't know that. Okay. That definitely makes a lot of sense. And he then was printed. But here's the cool part. If you ever look in the Or HaChaim, so the printers were the shluchim of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for this Hashgacha Pratis, because they really had a big say in who they're going to put on the page. I don't know who I mentioned it to, if I mentioned it during Shir.
The
Goyin, right, the Vilna Goyin. When they came out with Pirush HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, the printers tried to pull a fast one. And they said, we're just going to print Shulchan Aruch with Pir HaGra. Nowhere near Say Kalim. And there was a lot of pushback. But again, in the early days...
What was Kaveya for the printers? It was...
Exactly.
Political, or was this, or was that, it was...
Your guess is as good as mine.
So you have to know if it was Megalgun's Chus or Megalgun Chayf.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. Yeah, there were some of the Pirushim who were Teira Ubedula B'Makom Echad, a few of them who made it onto the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, they bought their way on. Shudu Gamashmoy, they paid the printers and said, put me on. It's your dua. And they're on. And they were tremendous Tamidi Chachamim. But hey, you know, the Eilas Talmud couldn't get a break. And these guys got these Talmidei Chachamim Muflogim that would put anyone to shame in the past 300 years also had assets to be able to pay the printer to put them on. Fine? So if you look in the printer when he went and put out the first Shulchan Aruch with Noisei Kalim, it was called Meginei Eretz. Ever heard of the Sefer? Right? Meginei Eretz. He decided to rename the Pirushim of the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The Taz named his Sefer to Rezov. In Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, it's called Magen David. He wanted it to be a catchphrase, Meginei Eretz. Those who are protecting the land, the Meginim. So he called it, instead of to Rezov, he called it Meginei Magen David.
Magen Avraham, he was
and
his own?
No, the Magen Avraham called his work Ner Yisrael. Anyone who learned in Baltimore, you know, some pride. The Magen Avraham called and termed his own Pirush Ner Yisrael. And comes along the printer and, no,
so
Magen Avraham.
After making the page and has the
page. So wait. The printer renamed it. And that's why when he called it Meginei Eretz, no. The printer called it Magen David. If you look in Or HaChaim, I meant to bring
it.
The Magen Avraham didn't call it.
Magen David, yeah.
So you know what it says? Notice what it writes. It says Magen David Taz. And then it says Magen Avraham Nun Yud. I always thought it meant Neir Yari. No. They kept their original names as a Zecher. It's Magen David Taz. To Rezov, because that's what he really called it. And it's Magen Avraham Nun Yud, because it's really supposed to be Ner Yisrael. Fascinating. You would never have known that. And a Zecher in the Shulchan Aruch to the original names that it actually was.
So why do we refer to the Taz and the Taz and Magen Avraham? Because Ni doesn't sound good.
I have no idea. Fair. I have no idea. Good question. I have no idea. So there was a few times they did this. When they put out the Pri Chadash and his Talmud, the Or HaChaim, came out against him. We're going to get there one week in the coming weeks. The Pri Chadash wrote Pri Chadash. He was very, very sharp against Maran Bet Yosef. And Rishonim, he didn't mince any words. He wasn't afraid to take on anyone. And he got put in the Cheirim. They tried to put him in the Cheirim. Well, yeah, Rabbi Cheskel de Silva. So, his Talmud, the Or HaChaim, who was the Rebbe of the Chida at a certain Tkufa, Chaim Ibn Atar, the Or HaChaim. What are we talking about? The Chassid Yavetz? There's the Or HaChaim from the Chassid Yavetz. Yeah. Pirush on Koheles or something. Yeah. A Pirush on Nach. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's the Chassid Yavetz who wrote a Pirush on Pirkei Avos called Chassid Yavetz, not to be confused with Rabbi Yaakov Emdik, who was the Yavetz, as we refer to him. Or HaChaim, Reb Chaim Ibn Atar. Yeah, that no. He didn't write. It's not called Or HaChaim. It's called Pre-Toar. Pre-Toar. The Pre-Toar is the Or HaChaim. He also wrote Rishon LeZion. He also wrote Chifetz or Chafetz Hashem. That's his Pirush on Sugyos. We're going to talk about the Or HaChaim a different week. But when the printer went and wrote those Svarim, he decided they had to get a catchphrase. They called it Pirush Ginosar.
Called what? The
Sefer is called, when they printed them together on opposite sides of the of the page, it's Shulchan Aruch with Peiros Ginasar, like Megine Eretz. Megine Eretz was the Taz Magen Avram, Mogen. So Peiros Ginasar was the pre-Chadosh and the pre-Toyar. So they called it Peiros Ginasar, which was the choicest fruits. The choicest fruits, as the Gemara talks about. I've been to Ginasar. Unfortunately, it's fry. And they're one of the biggest exporters of Israeli fruit. Because they have, it's in the north. It's not too far from Tveria. And they have a kibbutz, one of the longest standing kibbutzim in Eretz Yisrael, is Ginosar. Like the Gemara in Megillah talks about Ginosar as the best fruit. They still have the best fruit.
When you say it's fried.
It's not religious. The whole kibbutz is not religious. So, totally irreligious. So much so that when we came, someone had a great uncle who lived on the kibbutz, and he said we needed to pray. He said, "Oh, you go to pray, you need a chumash." Unfortunately, it's sad, but Peiros Ginasar was the name of the sefer of the pre-Torah and the pre-Chadash. So he goes and he writes the pirush on Or Chaim, the chelik of Shulchan Aruch. He also writes the pirush on Yerideya. Chesh Mishpat, as we mentioned, is on the page, not as one of the primary Nisei Kelim, and Evan Ezer is on the very bottom. That was supposedly written after his lifetime. What are some of his other Svarim? Divrei David on Rashi, Ala Torah, written by the Taz. Any others? Here we go. Divrei David. No, that's basically it. That's all we know. That's all we have. Now, here's where it gets exciting. More and beyond the discussion of how do people actually get on the page, who decides who's niskabel and which psukim we paskin like over the other? Because when you get to that same achlegas, Taz and Shach, generally speaking, we generally, by and large, majority of the time, will follow the Shach. Who decided that? How did that even come to be? And not only that, it's a fascinating thing to just make an observation over. He was, again, 36 years his younger. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, and they speak about their interactions. The Taz one time passed through Heloshoi. Heloshoi was the town that the Shach was the Rav in. And the Shach hosted the Taz, and the Shach writes, and he gave me a kiss on his way out. He obviously was trying to clear whatever rumors may have been swarming about their relationship, but as far as we know, it was L'Shem Shamayim, L'Hagdil Torah U'L'Adira. But the family didn't necessarily share the same view. There was a Yid whose name is Reb Yoel Ben Gud Ben Reb David Halevi, who was a grandson, a great grandson actually. I believe it was a great grandson, because I don't think any of his sons were named Gud. But a great grandson of the Taz comes along and writes a sefer a few years after his death. It was called Megine Zahav. Anyone ever heard of it? Megine Zav. You could find it on today. If you look in Oitzar Chachma, Megine Zav, you will find it. Written by a Yid, Reb David ben Reb Gud. Neched Hataz. What was the sefer? Reb Yoel ben Reb Gud. What did I say? Yeah. Reb Yoel ben Reb Gud. Neched Hataz. What was the sefer coming to do? It was coming to answer up every single question of Nekudas HaKesef, as well as Kuntros Achrim. To defend the Taz, to even the score. Because the Nekudas HaKesef has Meridika questions. Some of them, he got the last word in. It was written after the Taz was already printed. And the Taz didn't give an answer. So he got the last, so to say, the last question in. And the Megine Zav is coming to answer up every single question of the Nekudas HaKesef. Now here's where it gets exciting. He goes and he journeys to the Yerid. The Yerid was, right, the big fair where all the Gedolim went and met. They used to call it That's where the Vada Arba Rotzes met. The Marshal writes a few times, I was in the Arid, and I was on the move, and that's why I wasn't able to finish off the Sugya, because I had to go to the Arid. The Marshal went to the Arid. Everyone went to the Arid. That's where they met, right? Like the World Fair, Mahavdil Elof Alfei Avdalos. So they had a Arid. It was in Leipzig. It was in this town. It was in Lublin, and they met, and they convened the Vada Arba Rotzes. So Rabbi Yoel goes to the Vada Arba Rotzes and presents his sefer to the Vada Arba Rotzes to get Askama, and he doesn't stop there. He pushes and presses the Vada Arba Rotzes to come out with a kol koire psak din mitam the Vada Arba Rotzes, which again was the most powerful body of Rabbanim in Poland, which was the Polish kingdom, which was not Poland of today. It was Poland, Lithuania, a lot of Ukraine. It was a tremendous area, Arba Arotzes. And they actually came out with the Psak Din that Rabbanim must embrace the Psakim of the Taz. Kfar Hoira Zokim. And you do not have the right to paskin otherwise. Signed, Vada Arba Rotzes.
You think he was successful?
And we still paskin like the Shas.
He was successful? He got that sign?
Yeah. You can see, you can go find the Askama. Go look for the Askama from the Vada Arba Rotzes on the Meginis of, and look what they write. It's after the Levrura. It's not like, don't take my word for it. And nevertheless, now we'll throw up our hands to, you know, Klape Shmaya. However, this actually played out. The Shach still was niskabel. The Avodis Gershuni, who's a mechutin with the Shach, we're going to get there 1 week. He actually writes, he laments, he was very unhappy that Rabbanim were just learning the Shach. And he laments the fact that is the case. But he says it as a given. He writes in, I think it's Tshuva Zayin. I saw the quoted. He writes in Tshuva Zayin that, and it's already known that any Rav who doesn't have time to learn just learns the Shach. He was saying it in a condescending way. But it was already known by the Gedolim of the time that the Shach was the go-to sefer. And he's still lamenting, yeah, just because you're Mechutanim. The Shach quotes him a few places in Yerodea, in Bas Mechalov, in Tzadi Ches. Supposedly there's a story behind that, because the Avodis Gershuni helped him with the printing costs. So the Shach gives him a shout out a few times, as Al Tzakor HaSatoiv, to his Mechutin. Mechutani Reb Gershon, Hagoyin Agogo, with a few nice titles. But Hakar HaSatoiv is a real thing. So that was the Taz. He ended up living a fairly long life. He lived a full life. I believe it was well into his 70s, give or take. And I'll share with you, there's a great Vart. Yeah, we don't always have time. That's, you can go into more of the actual history, where he was, when he was, what he wrote. But let's leave it at that for now. I'll share with you one Vart. He goes and he says, an Even Ho'ezer, great Maramokim. I saw this quoted years ago by Moshe Sternbach in one of his farm. He says, check out the Taz and Even Ho'ezer, Simon Chaf Hei. The Taz over there goes and writes. The Taz is referencing, you know, there are many people who go and they try to Tamid HaChachamim, they try to not sleep as much as possible to be able to go and learn even more, and they hound themselves to sleep as little and get less sleep and less sleep and less sleep. And he says it's for naught, says the Taz. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of sleep. You might as well get some sleep, says the Taz in Simen Chafei. Why? He says because it's Yodua, that those who get a full night's sleep will be able to accomplish the same amount, the exact same amount, as those who are sleeping half the time. And he reads it into a pasuk. The pasuk in Tehillim goes and says, Shav lachem mashkimeikum. The Taz reads it into the pasuk. Check out the Taz and check out the pasuk. Shav lachem mashkimeikum. It's for naught, you guys who get up early. It's for naught. Shav lachem. Because if you just get a full night's sleep and actually made more quality use of your time, you'd be in the same exact spot. That's the Taz. So I don't know what his sleeping schedule was. But, yeah, maybe his full night was, yeah, a whopping 5 hours. And he overindulged at four. It was crazy. He was, a glutton. But that was the Taz Rabbeinu David Halevi, his relationship with the Shach. And stay tuned. Next week is going to be the Shach.
Hold it.